Hello, welcome to the sixth episode of my podcast, In My Opinion. So, the initial title of my podcast, or of this episode, is Android, Queen of Puddings. So, as most of you probably know, Android Pie was just... Android Pie Stable was just released to the public, and Google gave the name of Android Pie. So that left a lot of people questioning since then what in the world Android Q is going to be called. And I mean, I looked at some Wikipedia lists of what desserts that start with the letter Q are, and there's not a whole lot that I can find that's really a lot of fun. Queen of Puddings is the only one that I think they could somehow pull off. I don't know. It's just one that I'm kind of wondering, and I'd be down for. So I'm just going to go ahead and start and get right into it. So there wasn't really a huge announcement for this, but some of you might have noticed that Microsoft is now technically officially a partner with Movies Anywhere. And if you go to the Movies Anywhere app or website, or you go to Microsoft's Movies and TV app, or to the Microsoft Store on Windows, then you're able to connect your Microsoft and Movies Anywhere accounts, which will then add all of the Movies Anywhere benefits to it. And also, I don't know if they're still doing this deal, but I think... Let me look. Yeah, they're still doing it. If you sign up for Movies Anywhere, or not, if you connect your accounts or add a new account in Movies Anywhere, then you get, what movie was it? It was one of the X-Men movies. X-Men Days of Future Past. Yes, that's right. So that's the movie I got for free. So that was pretty cool. So, like I said, Google has released Android 9 Pie, so I'll just go and run over a few of the main features from it. Some of the biggest stuff that's most user-facing. Two things that aren't actually immediately user-facing, but will definitely have an effect, a very positive one, I think, are two features called Adaptive Battery and Adaptive Brightness. Both kind of similar ideas. Adaptive Battery will monitor your typical app usage and will depreciate battery life for apps that you don't use very often. Which will, of course, make them perform a lot worse in the background, maybe delay notifications and other stuff like that. But this system learns over time what your usage is, and then is able to adapt to that, which is pretty cool. And then, as well, with adaptive brightness, it's a very similar idea, but if you... the way that typical brightness works for most modern devices, or at least most modern phones, I don't know about laptops. I don't think I've seen one that does automatic brightness. I don't know. A phone that has a brightness sensor on it, it's basically just like a light sensor, and it senses the intensity of light, and then based off of that alone, it manages the brightness level of the screen. But in Android P, they're changing that a little bit and adding some artificial intelligence to it, where when you adjust the slider on your own for adaptive brightness, then the system takes that into account when it wants to move the slider to a different level. It may not set it exactly where you set it, but it'll set it around there, and it'll still be kind of balancing what you're telling it, and by manually adjusting the slider and what it's getting from the sensors. So kind of a it's kind of a cool way to make that a little smoother. And then of course over time as well, that will get more tailored to you until you don't even have to think about it. And another cool feature is this thing called App Actions, where Android will predict the next things you're gonna do and puts them in the app drawer at the very top, and they're things you can do within an app. So like for example, if you always text someone at around a certain time, then it may have that person in that app that you text them with at the top there in a little app action where you can click on that, it'll jump right into that app in that chat for you to text that person. Or if you say plug in your headphones, then it'll have some playlists or calling or whatever you use your headphones for, typically it will have that up top. And I feel like we should have seen this coming, or I feel like we should have known that Android 9 was going to be called Android Pie because of the name of this functionality here, which was one that at Google I/O was a very relevant feature, and one that they talked about a good bit. It's a feature called Slices. It's where within something like, say, Google search, you can search for you can search for a foreign app or a functionality in an app, and that will be brought up as a search result that you can jump into from there. So like for example, if you have Lyft installed on your phone and then you go to Google search and you search for Lyft, then it'll have several different actions that you can do within the from within Lyft showing up right there in the search results. It's functionality, I don't know if I said this already, it's functionality called Slices. It's pretty cool. Haven't really had a chance to play with it yet. I feel like we'll see more of how much that actually impacts the experience once more developers support it. And if I remember right, they'll have to by I think by the end of this year at least at most. Then that rule change will be in effect. Anyways, I'd have to look more into that. So they also they being Google changed around the navigation system in Android Pie. As of right now, on basically Pixel and Essential devices, it is an optional setting. It's enabled by default, but you can go into the settings and turn it off. It's like through settings, about phone or something. Yeah, you go system, gestures, and then there will be a button called swipe on home button. It has a little animation there that shows you the gestures, and that's exactly what it's talking about. So, pretty cool. I've been you I've I don't know. It's a neat little change that I think definitely improves navigation in Android. I've heard a lot of people complain about some of the oddities with it, like say keeping the back button, or it not actually adding any space, any usable space to the screen. It's still the same height as the older navigation bar. I just kind of like having more gestures. It just feels a little bit more intuitive to me. And then probably their biggest overall feature tout for Android Pie was this system called Digital Wellbeing. Now, what's interesting about Digital Wellbeing, you have to sign up for a beta but only if you have a Pixel device. If you have an Essential phone, like I do, then you cannot sign up for it at the moment. And people have And I think you can access it on root, but I'm not going to bother rooting my phone for just for that. I'll just wait till they add it. People are thinking they're probably going to add it in Android, in, let me think, in probably 9.1, which wouldn't surprise me. That's typically when they intend to bring some function, some system level functionality like this, or like new things from the Pixel 3 to the previous Pixel phones, or bringing some things over to other Android phones. So it wouldn't be a shocker at all if we had to wait till Android 9.1, probably either at the end of this year or later next year, which would be fine with me. I'm not dying for this right now, but it's kind of cool. So, anyways, most of what it does is it has this dashboard that is either this big circle graph, or not graph, this big circle picture visualization of how often you use your apps, and how, like, and how long you're in individual apps and what apps you're using the most. So, so they do have an option to switch between a graph view and then a circle view of everything, and it tells you the amount of time you spend in them, how often you check your phone. So I guess that's just tracking how many times you turn on the screen, which is kind of cool, and how many notifications you get per app, I'm guessing. Which is kind of neat to be able to monitor how often you're using your phone. I don't know, I could probably take advantage of that. I could always probably, it'd probably always be good for me to get a better understanding of everything that I'm doing on my phone, because I don't always remember what I'm doing. I'm on my phone, I do something, then I get off, and I completely forget half the stuff I did. It's just, that's how it goes, so that's probably why they're building it, and I appreciate it. So, what's also cool is you can set these little things called app timers on individual apps, which kind of as the name would sound, you have a set amount of time per day for how long you can use a certain app. And once that times out, the app icon will turn gray and will not be usable. I'm pretty certain you can override it temporarily. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet. But it's an interesting idea. I think it's good for people who are like social media addicts or people who have a hard time getting out of a certain app. So then it'll just kind of help them regulate themselves. Because it's something that these app timers are not turned on by default for anything. You have to turn them on manually. And there are some system apps as well you can't set app timers on. Like, I don't think you can set that onto the settings app. Anyways, so as well, they kind of changed up the Do Not Disturb functionality in Android Pie, which I really like. I've been playing around with that a little bit. In Do Not Disturb, it used to be just it would mute certain notifications, and let one some that you set as priority slip through. But now what it does is it not only hides almost every notification except only a small handful. Like I've had, say, the Google's reminders show up, and I think that's about it in general of what I've had slip through, but like even texts that I get don't come through to it, and that's just like when you're somewhere or in a situation or like at night. Like it's enabled right now for me because I have it set for when my for when I should be sleeping. But what it does is it hides most notifications from you being able to see them, and they're still there. It doesn't actually dismiss the notifications. It just like I think when you have the shade pulled down, it'll tell you notifications paused by Do Not Disturb. Which basically means that they're being hidden by the Do Not Disturb feature, but you actually do have several notifications. Which I kind of like. It's kind of nice when you are somewhere and you do kind of instinctively check your phone, and instead of having the temptation to just jump right into whatever you've gotten a notification for, instead you can just look at your phone and essentially realize that, hey, wait, I shouldn't be looking at my phone right now because I don't see anything, but I should. And then you turn it off, you just put it away. Because that's good, because even though I am a very much mobile enthusiast, I do agree that we could all probably use putting our phones down a little bit more, and finding ways to put them in their proper place. And I think this is a good part of us as a people group, as a society, trying to figure out where we want these things in our lives. Because especially as the development of these things slow down, I think it's important that we now kind of take a step back and try to figure out how we should integrate these things in our lives. Because there are some technologies, like for example, radio, that was for a long time very much a stand, like it was a very popular technology that quickly overcame a lot of U.S. and other international houses, all over the world. Clearly, right now, no one really uses radio, and sure, other proprietary technologies took over, but also. After a while, we kind of figured out how to put it in its place, and we had some other technologies come up that did certain things better than radio did. It's like right now, radio is oftentimes mostly used in cars. That's the most I say. That's the most I see people use radio, and that's just because it's a very simple way to get something coming to your car's audio system. Now, actually, it's funny, these days most people don't use radio even for that, so kind of a bad example. Either way, all these things that Google and Apple and I think Microsoft should be following suit with, maybe with Windows. Actually, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't see Microsoft really doing that with Windows because a desktop operating system is not the same thing as a mobile operating system when it's this device you're carrying with you all day. But anyways, another feature that was added to Android P for this for the digital well-being package of features, I'm going to call it, is you also have a feature called Wind Down, which basically, at a certain point, will slowly change your screen to grayscale until there is no color and it's just a grayscale screen, which is kind of to get rid of all the flashy colors and try to slow your brain down. And also, it is meant for when you turn it on. Again, it's turned off by default, but it is meant to kind of make you frustrated and make you eventually want to put it down, because that's the trick. Because you gotta get someone who needs to put it down to want to put it down themselves and not feel forced to, but feel like they're the ones who are wanting to do it. So, anyways, I like that. I haven't gotten a chance to play with most of that, which is kind of frustrating because I don't have a Pixel phone with me, which is a bummer. So I'm not gonna go over. I'm not gonna go over all of the biggest features, but there are several nice improvements in Android Pie. But what I was going to do is I was going to kind of talk about some of my own personal thoughts after using Android Pie for a while. So I've been running Android Pie Stable for the past several days now, and what I can say is that it's felt really stable for the most part. There have been a few strange bugs here and there that are a little confusing to me. Now, what is it now? What I'm going to say is that this is not the version of Android Pie that's going to come with a Pixel phone. This is the one that Essential has rolled out. So some of these problems I feel like could be something that Essential has to fix, and not something that Google would have to be the one fixing. So sometimes when I click the home button to go home, sometimes it instead goes to multitasking, and I'm not swiping up for it. I'm tapping the home button, the motor vibrates, and then it goes to multitasking for some strange reason. Slightly frustrating bug, but not really a absolute dumpster fire, so it's fine. But one far more frustrating problem that I found that I cannot really explain very well is sometimes when I'm coming from like a full screen app, say like a game, sometimes I'll go to the home screen. This didn't happen to me today, but it's happened to me for the past couple days. The navigation bar will just straight up stop working, which to me is quite frustrating. Thankfully, the fix is pretty straightforward. I just have to lock the device and then unlock it again. So it's not that big a deal, but again, it's just still kind of this frustration that I can't really explain. I like some of the tweaked animations and material theme elements that are present in it. And like anyone would have suspected, it's not using the pixel blue as the theme color, but it's using the standard green Android color, both for the settings app and for like the quick settings toggles, the brightness slider, the app drawer, search bar, and the scroll and the little scroll knob, all that. Now, what is interesting to me is that in the launcher on here, it doesn't have the app suggestions. So when I go to the multitasking, it just actually has my pinned apps, not app suggestions. So like it literally just has my shelf apps on there, which is strange to me because that's not the way that it works on the Pixel phones. So I wonder why that was either changed. I don't know. Again, I don't know who's responsible for this part. If it's either something Essential has to do, or if that's just what happens in stock Android. Again, kind of strange. But also, for some bizarre reason, I don't know why, but I don't have the what are they called? I swear. The app actions. I don't have that on my device. And I can't find any, I can't figure out if it's a setting I have to turn on. I search for it, I don't see anything. So, I don't understand. Anyways, that's a little strange. But outside of that, I mean, I've had no problems running anything. Apps load quickly. The gestures, I honestly like the gestures. I like them a lot more than the standard Android navigation. I feel like they feel a lot better to me, and they're just a little quicker to use. So, and I mean, honestly, I don't really have a whole lot to complain about Android Pie, outside those few small bugs, which probably aren't Google's fault. So, all in all, I think it's a pretty solid operating system that I'd be happy, or that I am happy to use, and I'm happy that it's unstable. So, that's pretty much about as much as I have to say about that. So we saw that Samsung unveiled the Galaxy Note 9. So the Galaxy Note 9 has a 6.4-inch screen, and it starts to The price in this thing is ridiculous. It starts at $1,000 and will max out at about $1,250. And that makes it one of the world's most expensive phones right now, which is really kind of crazy. It looks. Hello. Sorry. It looks. Let's see. So it's got a it's got a new Bluetooth stylus. Because previously, what Samsung had done is they have just used some kind of sensor technology or whatever in the stylus for it to kind of work with the for it to work with the Note phones. But now they have one that uses Bluetooth, so you can use it like a little remote for some stuff. They said that they were powering their little PowerPoint at the Samsung event using a Note 9 and an S Pen, which is kind of cool. And I guess you can use it to like play or pause media or I don't know. But it's a neat little improvement there. And in case you're wondering about battery life, it charges it when it's inside the phone. So unless if you have your pen, have your S Pen out all day, you're fine. They upgraded the cameras as usual. And they always have their they all have the same or they have new colors for this year as well. And what's a little not worrying but just fascinating about this phone to me is that they managed to put a 4,000 milliamp hour battery of it, and the entire world hasn't exploded, and people worried about the phones blowing up. I'm surprised. but honestly, let's see, Samsung did a very good job at trying to reassure customers that they weren't actually doing anything that dangerous by adding a battery of this size in their phones. So, I mean, I applaud them for that, which means it sh this phone, and hopefully when it gets Android Pie especially, should give you very good battery life. Now, what is interesting is that Samsung only just recently really has been starting to lose a lot of market share, really since kind of the Note like basically kind of right between the Note 8 and S line and S9 launch. Samsung has started to kind of lose market share ground, and I think most of that is probably just because of I don't know, I guess consumer fatigue in the smartphone world, and just the fact that there are some definitely cheaper options that don't make or that make a lot more sense than some of Sam than Samsung's biggest phones. And for me personally, I would argue that at least for people who are like me, who have this kind of preference for Android software, is that it's not stock Android and gets terrible updates. Which of course, at this point, you really can only get a Pixel phone unless you want to take an adventure with an essential phone, which I've actually had a pleasant experience with. So, of course, your mileage will always vary with that phone. Anyways, it's just kind of interesting, to see, if Samsung could possibly ever tackle that smartphone fatigue issue, just because the difficulty in overcoming that smartphone fatigue is to be introducing something new that consumers want. But the problem is it's very difficult to try to figure that out and do that successfully without bothering a bunch of people and causing a small riot among some enthusiasts. At the same time, they also introduced the Galaxy Watch, which was rumored for a while that it was rumored for a while that it was going to be a Wear OS watch, but that didn't really. Apparently, that didn't really turn out to be true at all, as a lot of people were hoping that it would be a Wear OS watch. But no, it's running Samsung's Tizen. So, unless you own a Samsung phone, get ready to install a bunch of Samsung bloatware. You get one of these. It's a good watch. It's got a circular screen, which I prefer over the square or more rectangle watches. I don't like those, but no flat tires. But thankfully, they don't do that. I don't think anyone does that anymore. They better not be. But I mean, it's a decent watch. It has water resistance, of course. It can connect to LTE, which is, you know, a nice trait. I guess if you want to use your watch outside of your phone, independently from your phone and be able to connect to the internet through it, then yes, that makes sense. I don't think I would actually be able to take advantage of it very well, but again, that's for each person to decide. Also, I think Samsung is shooting themselves in the foot with this other one, their Galaxy Home Speaker. I don't personally think it's going to work. Biggest reason is, outside of, like, some appliances, Samsung's not really known for home devices. Well, I guess also besides TVs. But, like, especially with something that's based around a smart assistant, which is Bixby, of course, in this case, I feel like that's going to be the biggest turn away from it. And also, it's kind of funny how people are pointing out all the different things that it looks like. I've been looking at some of the things that people have been posting on Twitter. It's hilarious. They got, like, MKBHD did a, so you found it. You compared it to a grill, which I can clearly see, and I agree. It looks like a grill. Some people compared it to. I think someone compared it to. What was it? It was like some kind of. Oh, the Omnidroid. That's right. So someone compared it to an Omnidroid, which was hilarious. I thought that was great. It's a speaker that is focusing primarily on audio quality and uses 8 microphones, which is quite a few. So they're kind of doing what Apple kind of did, and they don't actually really have a release date for it, it seems, which also to me is a little bit concerning, because that was a big kind of smackdown for Apple, because when Apple made the HomePod and tried to release it, that didn't really go very well. It took them forever, and once they did, then it had some shipping problems or whatever. Either way, that was kind of a messed up launch. So I'm just kind of hoping for Samsung's sake that they don't make the same mistake. As well, kind of still in Samsung territory, the Fortnite beta during the Samsung event, the first Fortnite beta was made available as a partnership between Fortnite or Epic Games and Samsung. It was exclusive for 48 hours to the Galaxy App Store that you could install the Fortnite installer from the Galaxy App Store, which will install the Fortnite installer on your phone. and then you have to install Fortnite. Clearly, I don't have a Samsung phone with me, so I haven't actually been able to play with it. I signed up for the email for them to send me an email with the installer for the invite. I haven't gotten an email yet. Actually, let me double check. Maybe I did. Just while recording. That'd be kind of funny if I did. Looks like no. No, I did not. So, again, it's just kind of a, just kind of interesting, interesting partnership. I mean, the fact that it only lasts, that it's basically already done, doesn't bother me at all. I don't think a 48-hour exclusivity initially is really that big a deal. I don't know why some people were making as big a fuss around it as they did, because I don't think that that was very necessary. But either way, that's about as much as I'm going to talk about. Thank you again for listening, and I hope that you have a very good day. I have, as always, I have my Discord server that anyone can feel free to join if you want to chat about anything that I've talked about in the podcast or anything else you want to bring up that is tech relevant. Then you are welcome to join, and we can all discuss that together. Again, thank you very much for listening. And I'll have all the links in the. I will have my source links for everything I talked about in the description of this podcast, and be sure to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast listener you're using. Anyways, have a good day.